Welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Friday, March 20th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Today, I promised you I would talk about the 1987 Twins, and I will, absolutely. I also want to highlight my article at Twins Daily that's dropping tonight of the five best Twins hitters of all time. Been a historic week in a lot of ways, but also on this show talking a lot about history, and I'm going to continue to do that here in the next few weeks as we have more updates, too, about when the season might start. Possible solutions to making up games for Rob Manfred and MLBPA. Going to definitely have updates on that, and we will discuss it. Does it feel like Friday today? Not really, but it is. Illinois just went on complete lockdown, so or they went on sit down and stay or whatever, stand down or something about, you know, basically a full lockdown of staying inside. So I assume that Minnesota is going to be there pretty soon with most other U.S. states. But for the time being, thanks for listening to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. I appreciate your ears. Let's get into it. I want to start with the five best Twins hitters of all time of my rankings. And you kind of get an inside view before the article drops. So definitely a sneak peek for free. Any GOAT discussion is definitely difficult when comparing across eras. But I think, you know, the Twins rankings are pretty straightforward. They're not the Yankees where it'd be very difficult to even rank a top 10. The Twins had some superstars. I mean, they don't lack firepower, superstar power in their history. But I think it's pretty straightforward with the rankings. I think one and two could be flipped in some minds, but I went with a more pure hitter for number one. But we're going to start at number five. And number five is a little more difficult, too, because you have guys like Kent Herbeck and Chuck Knoblauch. And there's plenty of good hitters that played for the Twins. Even Justin Morneau was a phenomenal hitter for the Twins, won MVP and a batting title. But number five, I have the hometown kid. Joe Mauer, I have as the fifth best hitter in Twins history. Drafted first overall in 2001. He had high expectations entering the big leagues, no doubt about it. He's almost like LeBron when he was the chosen one on Sports Illustrated. As a 16-year-old, Mauer, hometown kid, certainly delivered. From 2004 to 2010, he hit .327 with 81 homers in 836 games. Great power. He won the MVP award in 2009, one of the best seasons by a catcher ever. Led baseball in batting average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, and OPS. His OPS plus of 171 in 2009 ranks fourth all-time in Twins history and is tied with Buster Posey for the fourth best ever by a catcher. Phenomenal season in 2009 for Joe Mauer, one of the best we've ever seen. His patience and hit tool, we know about him. They were nearly unforeseen, especially for a catcher. Finished his career with less than 100 more strikeouts than walks, and his .388 on-base percentage ranks third behind just Rod Carew and Chuck Knoblauch. His final 5 years are exaggerated negatively because of the massive contract and switch to first base. But Mauer still hit .278, was an above-average hitter, OPS plus an average of 105 in those last 5 years. You know, he didn't really get the supporting cast to bring a World Series. I talked to Chris Castellani about this when he was talking about Mauer's Hall of Fame case. Is that Joe really didn't have an opportunity, I don't think. And it's not really his fault that he didn't get a chance to go to the World Series or even out of the divisional round, excuse me. Number four, I have Tony Oliva. Spent 15 seasons in Minnesota, hit .304. Spent his entire career in Minnesota, and he won Rookie of the Year in their inaugural season in 1961. Had 32 homers, .323 batting average, outstanding OPS over .900. He led the league in average hits, runs, doubles, total bases. He once surpassed that 30-homer threshold for the rest of his career. I think he had bad knees, my dad told me, but he still ranks fourth in Twins history in homers with 220. Won the batting title in 64, 65, and 71. You know, might have won it in more years if his teammate Rod Carew wasn't stealing, you know, hitting over 315 out of 19 seasons. But in Oliva's eight-year stretch where he made all-star appearances from 64 to 71, he hit .313 with an average OPS plus of 140, so 40% above league average in that time span. He received MVP votes in all eight seasons and ranks just behind Harmon Killebrew in offensive war among Twins during that span at 37.4. He was a contact king. You know, he walked only 6.5% of the time, struck out only 9.9% of the time, kind of a free swinger in his heyday. And in 13 postseason games, he also hit .314 with a .920 or so OPS and three homers. So Tony Oliva is a Twins legend. Love that he's down in Fort Myers during spring training, working with the guys, teaching them something with his former teammate Rod Carew. Number three, I have Kirby Puckett, and maybe the most famous twin of all time because of his postseason heroics. But he entered the league in 1984. He didn't have much power. He hit .292, but only a .363 slugging percentage. Only four homers in his first 289 games, but grew into his body and developed power. In 1986, he burst out and had 31 homers, and that brought his OPS up to .903. He was voted into his first of 10 consecutive All-Star games. From 1987 to 1991, which included two Twins World Series, Puckett hit .330 with 88 home runs in 772 games. Far and away the Twins leader in offensive WAR and RBI during that span. He was a consistently great hitter, but he's best known for those postseason heroics, and he has over 100 playoff plate appearances, and he hit .309 with a .536 slugging percentage and 10 extra base hits, 16 RBI. He hit .357 in their first World Series in 87, and then went 3-for-4 in elimination game number 6 in 1991 against Atlanta. And, you know, he also hit the biggest home run in franchise history in that same game. Kirby Puckett comes in at number 2 for me. Or excuse me, number 3. Number 2 is Harmon Killebrew. Spent 14 seasons with Minnesota from 61 to 74. Hit .260, .383 on base, .518 slugging. He was a slugger. His power was almost video game-like. Hit over 40 homers in 7 seasons. Ranks 12th all-time in all of the big leagues with 573 home runs in his career. In his first season, so he came from Washington. In his first seasons after the Senators became the Minnesota Twins in 61, he hit .288, .405 on base, .606 slugging with 46 homers. No one in baseball hit more homers during the 1960s than Killer. Killebrew owns the fourth highest on-base percentage in Twins history because of his immense hitting ability, and also he walked at a 16% rate. He led the league in walks 4 times, was intentionally walked more than any Twin ever, 152 times, because he was such a good hitter. Killebrew leads Twins history in slugging percentage at .518, OPS at .901, homers at .475, and RBI at 1,325. So the best power hitter ever in Twins history is Harmon Killebrew, and he comes in at number 2. You'll have to wait for number 1 after this read from Withings. Do you hate stepping on the scale? Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. A company called Withings produced the world's first smart scale, and they're still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus scale as the best overall scale in 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. Withings smart scales are known for durability and an exceptional user-friendly design. Step on data from every weigh in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option, and it means you need to have your phone on you. But Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, and even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So here's the deal that you get for listening. You can get 25% off a Withings Body Plus scale right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off a Body Plus body composition scale. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off your Body Plus body composition scale. Well, welcome back to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. We talked about the top 5 best Twins hitters of all time, but left out number 1, who deserves an extra minute. Rod Carew, seasons with Minnesota 12 from 67 to 78, hit .334 in his career for the Twins. .334, .393 on base percentage, slugged a respectable .448, won the batting title 7 times, hit over 315 of his 19 seasons. He's the Twins' all-time leader in average on base percentage and offensive WAR. And in his prime from 1972 to 1978, Carew dominated baseball with a .350 average. The 38-point difference between Carew and the second-place Pete Rose was more than that of Rose and the 28th-ranked Reggie Jackson. 20th-ranked, excuse me, Reggie Jackson. Carew's banner season was his MVP campaign in 1977. In his age 31 and second-to-last season in Minnesota, Carew hit .388 with a .449 on-base percentage, .570 slugging percentage, and led the league in hits, runs, batting average, on-base percentage, triples, OPS, and WAR. Carew finished his season with 3,053 hits, including 445 doubles, 112 triples, and 92 home runs. Unfortunately, he never did appear in a World Series. Hit just .220 in 14 career postseason games. Perhaps that's why he's a bit underrated in baseball history, in my opinion. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame, though, in 1991, got 401 of 443 votes on the first ballot, and owns four of the top 10 offensive war seasons in Twins history. So almost half of the top war seasons among all Twins hitters. Rod Carew is the best Twins hitter of all time. On my list, Harmon Killebrew 2, Kirby Puckett 3, Tony Oliva 4, and Joe Mauer at 5. Could one of these hitters on the team now, Max Kepler, Jorge Polanco, Miguel Sano, become or push themselves onto this list? Maybe we'll have a discussion of who I think has the highest upside and can push themselves on this list for best Twins hitters in their history. Next week, I'm going to do the top 5 pitchers in Twins history, and we'll talk about that. I do want to talk about this 1987 Twins club. I don't know if you remember, they won the World Series. They beat the St. Louis Cardinals in seven games. Their record that year was 85-77, so not a phenomenal season. They end up matching up with the Tigers in the ALCS. Heavy, heavy underdogs in that series, but take it 4-1. Basically dominated the Tigers as heavy underdogs because they played so well at the Metrodome. And there's a great interview with Kirby Puckett where he's asked, do you think, you know, players feel differently when they play in the Metrodome? And he said, yeah, I do. You know, I think it's uncomfortable for them. And they played very well, and so did Kirby. Their best hitters on that team, Kirby and Ken Herbeck. Frank Viola was their best pitcher, pitched in Game 7, and they had 5 above-average hitters and 6 above-average pitchers. This wasn't a super special team, I think, on paper. Their war leader was Frank Viola, but they had that surefire ace in Viola. They also had superstars in Puckett and Herbeck, who really showed up in the playoffs, and that's such a big thing. You got to show up in the playoffs when it matters. Kirby hit .357 in the World Series against St. Louis, went 10-for-28, 3 RBIs, 2 walks, OPS .884. It was just outstanding in the playoffs and mostly in the World Series. Only went 5-for-24 against Detroit. But, you know, their big guns showed up. Viola showed up, and Kirby showed up in the World Series, and that's what you need to happen. And that's kind of why the Twins couldn't get past the Yankees last year. Their stars didn't show up. But Ken Herbeck struggled in the playoffs, you know, hit .150 in the ALCS and then .208 in the World Series. Gary Gaetti was a player on that team as well. He started for the Twins in 1981 and then ended up playing on this World Series team as well and had a .259 average in the World Series, but hit .300 in the Detroit Series, which helped with a .998 OPS. Hit 3 homers in the playoffs. This 87 club was special in the playoffs. They're above average in the regular season. That's how you get to the playoffs. But this was a perfect example of kind of rolling the dice in the playoffs and just letting whatever happens, happens. They're heavy underdogs to Detroit. They come back in the World Series against St. Louis. Frank Viola pitches 19 and a third innings, gives up 8 runs, strikes out 16 for a .372 ERA in the World Series. And, you know, they just got it done when it mattered and got clutch hits. And that's exactly what happened in 91 as well, even though that team was better. And that's why next week I'm going to talk about that 91 club as the best of all time. So I hope you have a great weekend this weekend. It's the end of the week, and hopefully things are improved by next week. I hope the social distancing is going well for you and your family. You know, I'm expecting pretty soon for a lockdown of Minnesota. I think we're going to hear about it. I think it's inevitable, and I think it's a good decision because the quicker that we do this and the more precautions that we take, the faster that we can get back to our normal lives and faster we can have baseball back and save a lot of lives as well. So I hope it's going well. Thank you for listening. Again, I really appreciate it, your support of this podcast, and I hope you have a great weekend. Have a great day today, and go Twinks.